Good morning. I would like to welcome everyone to the Report on Public Finance and Public Debt First Quarter 2012. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded for replay. I would now like to turn the call over to Dr. Miguel Meshmar. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Mexican Ministry of Finance conference call on public finances and public debt report for the first quarter of 2012. Let me just remind our friends from the press that this call is off the record. As you know, and as we've done sort of for the last several times, I won't go into the full details of the report given that we send it out to you, but rather emphasize some additional points and some points which I think are worth highlighting from the point of view of the results of the first quarter. Starting with the economic outlook and economic activity, on the basis of the relatively good numbers that we have observed for the first quarter of 2012, we have the impression that economic activity will accelerate slightly in terms of the real annual growth rate from 3.7% in the fourth quarter of 2011 to something close to 4% in the first quarter of 2012. Actually, when you look at the quarterly numbers that would be implicit within this projection, there would be a relatively important acceleration of growth. As you know, the quarterly non-annualized growth rate was close to 0.4% in the fourth quarter of 2011. Implicit in our projection for the first quarter of 2012 is a quarterly non-annualized growth rate, that is quarter to quarter, of close to 1%. So the quarterly growth rate would more than double, slightly more than double, in the first quarter after the result from the fourth quarter of 2011. And our impression is that this really implies a relatively important surprise on the upside. In general, we've been observing an acceleration in many of the different components, both of external demand and of domestic demand. If you actually look at the quarterly non-annualized growth rate of manufacturing exports, it was an extremely high 5.3% in the first quarter of 2012 compared with 0.6% in the fourth quarter of 2011. Same thing applies to imports of intermediate goods, which typically are a good indicator as well of underlying dynamics, which accelerated from 0.6% in the fourth quarter of last year to 2.7% this year. From the point of view of domestic consumption and domestic demand, one, I think, has to look very carefully at the numbers because particularly for consumption, El Buen Fin, which took place in November of last year, probably had a very important effect in terms of changing the seasonality for the end of 2011 and the beginning of 2012. So our impression is that it's necessary to look at both quarters simultaneously. Obviously, given that the El Buen Fin is the first time that it happens, it's very difficult to make a good seasonal adjustment for that. But if you look at the joint results from the fourth quarter of 2011 and the results from the first quarter of 2012, both in terms of ANTAD or of Walmart sales, in terms of their total sales, you would be observing a growth rate of close to 2% per quarter non-annualized, slightly smaller than that, which actually indicates that domestic consumption is maintaining extremely good dynamism. In terms of imports of consumption goods, they actually increased by 5.7% non-annualized in the first quarter. Imports of investment goods, 11.6%. And investment per se accelerated from an average quarterly growth rate of 0.1% in the fourth quarter of last year to a growth rate of 1.6%. That's the monthly growth rate in the month of January, which is the one that we have. So in general, the results from the point of view of both external and domestic demand have been quite favorable. When we look at the GAE and industrial production for the period January-February, the growth rate that we observe for the GAE is 0.2% and for industrial production it's 0.8%. Here there's an important caveat. These are numbers just for January and February, and the numbers for February are affected by the fact that we have one more labor day during February. And INEGI tends to adjust for that. But generally, what we have observed in previous leap years is that the adjustment for February perhaps tends to be a bit too large, while it's followed by a very high expansion during the month of March. So in general, we think that it's very important to understand the underlying dynamics to actually observe both what is happening in February and March. And our impression is that we should be observing pretty high growth rates both for IGAE and for industrial production for the month of March. Employment had also an extremely good performance with a 1.3% growth rate on quarterly non-annualized terms, which implies a slight acceleration from the 1.2% that we observed in the fourth quarter of 2011. Moving on to financial results, as you know, by the end of the first quarter of this year, inflation was 3.7%, which implies a slight decline with respect to inflation at the end of 2011, where it closed at 3.8%. And in general, the timely results that we have observed for the month of April actually indicate that this declining trend has continued. The stock market had a relatively good performance during the first quarter with an increase of 6.6%, and there was an appreciation during the quarter of 8.4% with respect to the end of 2011. Credit has continued to expand at a relatively fast pace. In the quarterly report, we mentioned the results to February, but the results to March were also published on Monday. And in general, we observe in the latest numbers that credit to the private sector increased at an annual growth rate of close to 10% in real annual terms, which implies that a pretty important expansion in credit continues with sharp increases in all of its components: credit to firms, credit to households for consumption, and also credit for mortgages. Moving to the results for public finances, in general, all the results from the point of view of the balance of the public sector are consistent with what was approved by Congress for the year as a whole. And in general, the results that we have observed from the point of view of revenues have actually been quite favorable, and we would anticipate that this would continue to be the case during the remainder of the year. So we're really not anticipating to have any type of major problems at this stage for us to be able to comply with all of the objectives for the fiscal year. In general, budgetary revenues increased by 7.2% in real annual terms. All revenues increased by 18.8%, mostly due to the increase in oil prices. Non-oil tax revenues increased by 1.3% in real annual terms, which looks like a relatively small number. But it's important to control for the fact that the vehicle ownership tax was rescinded for this year. When you adjust for that, actually tax revenues would be increasing by 3.1% in real terms. And there were two additional factors for which we're not controlling in our estimations, but which would actually lead to even higher growth rates. The first one was the effect of El Buen Fin on VAT tax collection. Given that the El Buen Fin implied that some sales were anticipated from December to November of last year, that actually reduced our VAT tax collection in January. Normally what we would observe is very high sales in December, and that would lead to a high VAT tax collection in January. But some of those sales were actually anticipated to November and partly explained the relatively strong tax collection that we observed at the end of last year. To the extent that El Buen Fin is repeated this year, and that's the intention of the major department stores, we should not be observing for the year as a whole this effect on VAT tax collection, given that we would observe the same type of anticipation at the end of this year. A second effect actually probably reduced slightly the growth rate on the income tax collection, which is related to the fact that the 31st of March was a Saturday. So many of the final payments for income tax by corporates actually was done on April rather than at the end of March. So probably this implies that the performance is even somewhat stronger than the numbers that we have actually observed so far for the first quarter. With respect to the amount in the program that was published in the official Gazette, budgetary revenues were higher by 44 billion. Of this 44 billion, around 14 billion are associated with oil revenues, 14 billion with non-oil tax revenues, 5 billion with public entities under direct budgetary control different from Pemex, and 11 billion from other sources of revenues. In general, as I mentioned, probably already we have some additional excess windfall revenues associated with non-oil tax revenues compared with what we have already in the program and what we have mentioned in the quarterly report. Moving very quickly to expenditures, during the first quarter of 2012, public sector expenditures increased by 12.5% in real terms with respect to the same period of last year. Within programmable expenditures increased by 13.7% in real terms. Just to explain this extremely high rates of growth, normally what you tend to observe is that in the last year of an administration, the different ministries within the federal government actually need to finish many of the projects that they have been working on during the administration. So that typically leads to a relatively aggressive calendar for spending during typically last years of an administration, and that's what basically is explaining this relatively high rates of growth. Within expenditures, expenditures on economic and social development increased by 22.6% and 6.1% in real terms respectively. Budgetary and fostered investment increased by 8 and 4.8% in real terms. Federal resources transfers to state and municipalities increased by 10% in real terms. Pensions and retirement expenditures recorded an increase of 14.4%. And the financial cost of the public sector increased by 20.5% on real annual terms. This very sharp increase in the financial cost of the public sector is basically explained by two factors. One is a depreciation that was observed between the first quarter of 2012 and the first quarter of 2011. And there was also a very important change in the seasonality of Pemex's financing cost. Actually, when you look at the financial cost of the federal government, it decreased by 5.5% in real annual terms. With that, I would finish my introduction and give over to Alejandro Diaz de León.
Hello, good morning. I'll be brief in terms of the public debt. As you know, we have maintained the strategy to cover our financing needs mainly through the local debt markets and try to maintain an ample access to international financial markets. Regarding domestic debt, basically the duration that we have been issuing in the first quarter is very similar and marginally lower to the one that we issued in the last quarter last year. In terms of foreigners' participation in our local debt, I would just highlight that it has continued to increase and it now represents 29.3% of total domestic debt outstanding at the end of March this year. And from that figure, the bulk of the most important component is foreigners' holdings in ME bonos, which represents almost 66% of their total holdings. In terms of external debt, I would just highlight that in the first quarter of this year, we basically launched two very large and significant transactions. We were able to issue in the first month of the year our new 10-year benchmark, at a yield of 3.71%, which is a historically low yield for that tenor in our case. And also in March, we were able to launch a new 30-year benchmark. Both were $2 billion transactions with also a historically low yield of 4.84%. And going quickly into some of the debt levels, I would just highlight that for the end of the first quarter this year, the federal government's net debt stood at 27.3% of GDP, and from this figure, around 20% is external debt and 80% of the represented by domestic debt. Going to the figure that includes the whole public sector net debt, which includes, in addition to the federal government, public entities under direct budgetary control and the development bank, this figure was of 33.1% of GDP. And from this figure, I would just highlight that domestic debt represents 23 percentage points of GDP, and the external component 10.1% of GDP. And I would highlight that the outstanding amount of this figure of net debt actually it was very, very similar to the one we had at the closing of the previous quarter. And going into the historical balance of the public sector borrowing requirements, which is the broadest measure of the public debt in Mexico, this figure represented 37.3% of GDP, and the outstanding amount of this figure actually decreased in real terms in 0.5 percentage points with respect to the figure observed in the previous quarter. And with that, I would finish the debt part of the conference and turn to questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. Question from Alberto Velarto with Morgan Stanley.
Good morning, Miguel Alejandro. Thank you for taking my call. My question, just real quickly, regarding the factors behind the double-digit surge in the current expenditures during the first quarter, could you provide some more color on that? And second question, how has been the expenditure during the first half of the, or during the first quarter of the year compared to last year?
Sure. I mean, in general, what we have been working on, and what my colleagues at the expenditure under secretariat have been working on is trying to actually move the calendar of expenditures more towards the beginning of the year. And this is something that they've been working on already for several years. This is not the first year that this thing happens. Now, obviously, even though the calendar would typically be tried to move forward, sometimes in terms of the execution, they won't be able necessarily to fulfill this more aggressive calendar. Here, in a sense, all the incentives are aligned in the sense that people know that whatever project they don't finish with during this year, they will actually not be finished. I mean, there is some risk that after a change in administration, they might not be finished at all. So, in principle, the incentives that they actually have within the ministries are for actually executing fully the amount of expenditures that they have approved for the beginning of the year. So it's a combination of two things. The calendar itself is slightly more aggressive than last year for the same reasons, but the execution that is taking place at a ministerial level is actually much better. So there is always this discussion on whether ministries are under-executing or not. And actually, when you look at the levels of expenditure by ministries, this is different from public sector enterprises. In public sector enterprises, there actually has been some underspending with respect to calendar. But when you look at the ministries, actually, they have been right on target with respect to the calendar, given sort of that all of the incentives, in a sense, are aligned in the last year of an administration where they typically don't want to save any type of spending margins for the second half of the year, but rather actually advance all the spending to finish the projects before the change in the administration.
Thank you.
And again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1. You have a question from Leopoldo Pimienta with GBM Securities.
Thank you. Thank you, Alejandro. Thank you, Miguel, for hosting this conference. First of all, I would like to know more about your how you get your estimates about GDP growth, especially considering the good results that we have seen in the first 2 months of the year, and especially considering ANTAD's latest numbers. You perceive even the continued expansion in domestic demand, and also latest numbers on the trade balance indicate that probably we should be a little bit more optimistic than your 4% estimate. So maybe you can help us and provide more color on this topic. And a second question is, first of all, giving you congratulations about your numbers on public revenues. Actually, I get surprised about tax collections on the income tax, and I would like to know more about how this was a good result about in terms of the difference between the numbers programmed in the budget for the year as a whole and the numbers observed for the first quarter of the year. Thank you.
Sure, Leopoldo. From the point of view of economic activity, I think you're right, and actually there is probably more upside risk in a growth projection considering a specific point estimate of 4% of GDP. It could easily be a couple of it could easily be 0.1 or 0.2 percentage points higher than that, given the timely numbers. I guess that we're being relatively careful in our estimations, given sort of the effect of the leap year and the noise that is generating. But in general, I'd say that our 4% perhaps is a little bit on the conservative side. And I think that in that respect, I would actually agree with you that with respect to our 4% point estimate, probably there is an important amount of upside risk in terms of the final result that we could be observing. Nevertheless, it's obviously significantly better, for example, than the numbers that had come out, not in the latest survey of Banco de Mexico, but in the one in the previous month. But in that respect, I fully agree with you that the numbers are actually looking better. I think that we actually have to be careful for what we observe in the second quarter this year, given that obviously the U.S. numbers at the margin have surprised a little bit on the downside. For the year as a whole, nevertheless, the good results that we've been observing at the end of last year and particularly the first quarter of this year imply that we're relatively happy and calm about our 3.5% projection for the year as a whole. But you're right in that the balance of risks perhaps was a little bit more on the downside some months ago. Now it looks like a more balanced distribution of risks around our 3.5%. We think it's relatively early to actually revise that further. So we will probably be maintaining our 3.5% growth estimation for a while for the year as a whole, given sort of the marginally weaker numbers or the surprises downwards on the downside that we've observed in the last months or in the last weeks in the U.S. With respect to tax revenues, here I think there is an important factor which we've been discussing. As you know, last year, actually, some tax revenues ended up being below program, particularly the VAT. And we actually discussed that we thought that was associated with a one-time effect, given that a lot of firms in 2010 didn't ask for VAT tax rebates until the very end of 2010, and that had a negative effect on VAT during the beginning of 2011. We actually thought that was a temporary effect, but we actually took it for our tax projections for this year. We actually took it as if it was a permanent one, given that we were not 100% sure. So in that respect, the projections, the original projections for tax revenues for this year are probably somewhat on the conservative side as well. So I think that there are two factors explaining the relatively good performance of tax revenues. It seems that a lot of the underperformance in 2011 really was a temporary factor. So the real tax base from which we're growing is probably higher than the one that we observed in 2011, and that explains part of this important increase. And the second one is obviously better economic performance than what was originally envisaged. For the year as a whole, we're not giving additional numbers. We did publish our precriterios about a month ago, but the estimations there were pretty conservative. My impression is that we should be observing additional windfall revenues given the level of oil prices that we're seeing and the relatively good surprises that we're observing on non-oil tax revenues. But for the moment, we're not giving a particular estimate.
Thank you.
And again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one. And there are no additional questions at this time.
Perfect. Thank you very much, all of you, for listening. And you know that if you have any other additional questions or issues, just let us know through Mexico's Investor Relations Office. Have a very good day, all of you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for participating in today's call. You may now disconnect.